Mirza Muhammad Bey was born in Hyderabad, grew up here and completed his education and graduated from Qom Iraq. We have been honored by his presence among us, and I'd like to welcome you, Mohran, on behalf of the community here in New York and on behalf of the Imam Al-Khoi Foundation. And we hope, inshallah, that we are going to be able to benefit, continue to benefit from your erudition and scholarship. Please welcome Mawlana with a loud salawat.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله اليمين الطاهرين المعصومين. There is a difference between knowing and believing, and the difference is so subtle that sometimes it's ignored. Knowing something does not mean that you believe in it. Knowing something doesn't mean that you have accepted it. Knowledge, and having knowledge of something, is different than believing in that knowledge. And when a person has knowledge but does not believe in it, then it's as if he doesn't have knowledge. It's as if he doesn't have knowledge. And when we look at different knowledges that we have, different information that we have, some information is easy to believe in. Some knowledge that we have is easy to digest. For example, if I tell you that on the way here, there was traffic. Now this information is not hard for you to digest or accept. Okay, there was traffic. You accept it without any problems. You don't have a hard time digesting it. You don't have a hard time accepting it, right? Or for example, if I said that I felt sick. So you say, okay, you felt sick. It's not something hard to believe in. It's easy for us to accept it. But when I see something that's a little bit more difficult, there are some things that are more difficult to believe in. For example, if I tell you that I came here and I saw pigs flying. Now you look at me and say, you know what? Now, is that easy to accept? You see, it's an information that is difficult to accept, right? It's hard. It's hard for us to process it. It's hard for us to say, okay, I believe that. It's difficult for us to believe in. Some knowledges are easy to believe in. Some knowledges are difficult. For example, the knowledge of death. know that we are going to die? Is there anyone in the world who has a doubt that he's going to die? Just imagine this. Anyone, Muslims, non-Muslims, anyone. Is there anyone who has a doubt that he is going to die one day, that he's going to leave this world and go into a grave or the incinerator? No one, right? So everyone knows that they are going to die, but how many people have actually digested and accepted that fact? Because if we had accepted that fact, then why is the knowledge of death not affecting our life? If, for example, someone goes to the doctor, let's say, and he says, "Doc, just tell me, what do I have? Tell me straight." And the doctor says, "You know what? You're a hopeless case. You have no hope. You will die tomorrow. You only have a day to live." Now, what would that person say? Be like, "No, doc, it can't be." "What do you mean it can't be? Of course it can be. What, you came here with a guarantee of a longer life?" It's too much echo. I know there's something wrong when I'm hearing myself. Alright, so when we look at the fact, we see that death is hard for us to accept. Because if we had accepted the fact that we are going to die, then the knowledge of death should be affecting our life. But now you see, people don't accept it easily. People don't accept it. You see how they deal with the knowledge of death. They deal with it either by ignoring it and say that, they know they're dying, but they don't want to ignore it. They don't remember it. Or, for example, they oppose it. They deny it. They're in a state of denial. "I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die." Something like that. And they know they're going to die. Death is coming to them. They know that. But what happened is that they're in a state of denial. I mean, if you, obviously don't do this at your home or workplace, right? As a disclaimer before I say this, right? If someone goes to their workplace or their school and tells the people, "Hey, guys, do we know we're going to die soon?" and start speaking about death, you can just imagine how your classmates or your workmates are going to freak out. I'm like, "Boss, there's something wrong with that guy in that desk or that cubicle speaking about death." And death is a fact, right? We all know we're going to die. But people are so afraid of it. People are so unable to accept it. People are so, it's so hard to believe in it for them that they want to deny it, that it's going to happen. This is the reality of knowledge and belief. Because the fact is that they know it's going to happen, but they don't believe in it. And hence, when they don't believe in it, then that knowledge of death is useless for them. That knowledge that they're going to die is useless for them. They won't know how to deal with it. My friends, if we have knowledge, but we don't believe in that knowledge, it means that that knowledge is useless for us. And not everything requires, and just today I want to raise an issue which I'm going to just speak about today and end it today. I'll make it easy, inshallah, for you tomorrow. Right? It'll be easier tomorrow, alright? And as we go into our subject. But right now, just to understand this first night of Muharram is why I'm raising this subject. To understand Imam Hussein, to understand Karbala and Ashura is why I'm raising this subject. And I want your minds, and I want you to challenge your minds to think, so that you can grasp what I'm saying. For some of you, you might be young, But if you challenge yourself, you might be able to know and understand what I'm saying so that it can really influence your life and affect your life. Send the salawats. Knowing something doesn't mean that you have accepted it as a fact or believe in it. And not believing in your knowledge is like not having knowledge. It's equal to ignorance. It's equal to people who are ignorant. And so now when we look at different types of knowledges, we see not every knowledge is hard to believe in, but the knowledges and the information that affects your life and can cause change in your life requires you to believe in it. Knowledges that, you know, you there are many things. You know, for example, soda is bad for you. Yeah, when you hear that, okay, yeah, whatever, you know. And you accept it. You know, it's not hard for you to accept it, right? Or, for example, if you do, like, for example, if you eat too much sweet, you're going to have cavities. All right, sure. So most knowledges that we have in our life, they don't require us to really accept it or have a hard time trying to believe in it. But the knowledges that affect your life, and think about all the things that could affect your life. Anything that can change your life for better needs a faith and a belief and a conviction in that knowledge. If you don't have conviction in the knowledge, then it means that that knowledge is not going to change you. That knowledge is not going to change you. My friends, really, when you look at it, you see this. Sometimes it's hard to believe in things. Sometimes it's hard to believe in things. For example, let me read a hadith for you. Let me just tell you a hadith. It is said by the Masumin that anyone, as a rule and a principle, anyone who speaks loud to his parents, Allah will shorten his life. Allah will shorten his life. Now you heard that. So now you say, you know what? I don't want to live shorter. I want to live longer. So I will change. Right? Let's say you made a conviction right now. You know what? I don't want a short life. I want to live longer. So I change. Good. It's good you changed. But if you had already spoken loudly to your parents, your life is shortened already. Nothing can change that. Nothing can change that. Now, this is hard to believe in. You see, but I changed. I'm good now. But you have already done it. You see, now is it easy to accept? You see, understand this. Some things are hard to believe in. Some things are difficult to digest. The words of Imam Hussein need belief and conviction. They're not easy to digest. Yes. You want to be a servant of Imam? You want to follow our Imam? Then his words and what he stands for requires you to digest that information. It requires you to accept it and have conviction in it. If you don't have conviction in it, it means that it is not going to affect you. Imam Hussein and his teachings will not affect you if you don't have the ability to digest and accept that fact. Let me tell you what Imam Hussein said so that you understand this. And alhamdulillah, we are Shia. We love Imam Hussein, and we spend ourselves for Imam Hussein. We give ourselves for Imam Hussein. This is something that we do with our heartfelt feelings. Now, when we look at what Imam Hussein is saying, that requires a little bit of digestion. You know what Imam Hussein said? He said that if you do not spend your wealth or your time or your life in the way of Allah's wali, meaning in the way of your imam, in the way of Imam Hussain. If you don't spend your wealth and your time and your life in the way of Imam Hussain, then you will spend that same wealth and the same time and the same life in the way of Yazid. You will say that. Listen, if I'm not spending my time or money for Imam Hussain, it doesn't mean that I'm going to spend it for Yazid. No, you will. That's what Imam Hussain is saying. You will. Allah will make it such that your money will be spent for Yazid. Allah will make it such that your life will be spent for Yazid if you're not spending your life for Imam Hussain. This is a natural cause. It's a natural phenomena that Allah is going to put you in, that if a person doesn't live for his imam, he will make him live for his enemies. He will make him live for his enemies. That's the reason that we have to choose to live for the imam. If we don't live for him, then you know what? There is no neutral ground here. Either you're here or you're there. You can't say, well, no, I mean, I love him and this and that, but it doesn't mean that I'm Yazidi. I'm sorry, if you're not Husseini, you end up becoming Yazidi. Let me give you an example so you understand this. Send the salawats. There are many people who invited Imam Hussain to Kufa. And when Imam Hussain came there, they did not support him. And after Imam Hussain was shaheed, these people repented. They were sorry for what they did. And, you know, they repented and they said, you know, okay, we are sorry, you know. And they were known as Tawabin. And they said, we need to do something for Imam Hussain and we need to fight against those people who killed Imam Hussain. And they went out and they fought the people, you know, the army of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad and Shemr. They tried to fight them and they had some victories and it was good. One of the leaders of these people, and who is this? He's a Shia of the Imam, right? He's a lover of the Imam. He repented and he is now fighting. He risked his life for him. You know, but when Mukhtar, when he came into power, when he came as a ruler in order to get the revenge on the enemies of Imam Hussain, this person, because of the fact that you see that he did not spend himself for Imam Hussain, he did not understand it, then what happened is that he hated Mukhtar so much. He hated him so much because he thought that Mukhtar is just going to go and fight against the enemies and kill them. He wasn't thinking that Mukhtar is going to establish a government and all of these things. So he said, Imam Hussain didn't want this and we should not have this and we should not have a government and we should not have these things. He was so angry with Mukhtar for establishing a government that he went and joined the army of Shimr in order to fight against Mukhtar. You see where he ended up? In the army of Shimr. Shimr is there advising him and he's taking commands from Shimr to fight against Mukhtar. Imagine this, where he ended up. This is why, my friends, digesting what Imam Hussain said is very important. To know this, to accept it, to have conviction in it. This is what's really important. Imam Hussain's, when he was slaughtered and his head was put on a spear, and as it was being taken, the people who saw it, the people who heard what Imam Hussain was saying, because even on the spear, Imam Hussain was reciting ayat of the Quran. Actually, one ayat of the Quran. And he was repeating the ayat. His head was repeating the ayat. So many people saw it and they said he was repeating this ayat. You know which ayat he was repeating? Which ayat was Imam Hussain repeating all the time on this? In Surah Kahf, he says, Am hasibta anna ashab al-kahf wa raqim kanu min ayatina ajaba? It's a question Allah is asking to us. And Imam Hussain's head was asking that to the people. Do you think that the story of Ashab al-Kahf is strange? No, the story of Hussain is stranger than that. It is harder to believe than that. If Ashabi Kahf is hard to believe that they slept for 300 years, then it's harder to believe what Imam Hussein, what I have done. It's harder to believe that. You need to accept it. Now let me give you some examples so you understand what I'm saying better. If you send us salawats. Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam. When he was traveling to Siffin, he came to the land of Karbala. He left his army with some of his soldiers, his escort, his bodyguards, because Imam Ali used to have his bodyguards with him all the time. And they were known as Ashab al-Shurta. Ashab al-Shurta were the bodyguards of Imam Ali. All the time he used to have an escort, and they would always be there with him. So he went out, and he went to the land of Karbala with a handful of soldiers, and he got down in a certain place, and he started to play with the sand. He was taking the sand and throwing it in his face. And then he would cry. And again he would throw it. Now the soldiers who saw that, they looked at him and he said, something wrong with him. So one of them, Abdullah ibn Abbas, came to him. Came to him and said, Mawla, are you okay? Are you okay? So what happened is that Imam Hussein said, my son Hussein is going to die here. He's going to be killed here at this very place. Soon a time will come when my son Hussein is going to be killed here. The soldiers were listening to Imam Ali. They heard him say this. When? In Siffin, 20 years before. They heard him say this. Now one of the soldiers, I want you to understand this. Now this is something that Imam Ali is disclosing. It's a fact that Imam is disclosing. Who better to hear it from the Imam himself? He's disclosing this fact and these people hear it. One of the soldiers behind Imam Ali tells his companion, meaning the one next to him. He could not believe what Imam Ali is saying. He says, he was so frustrated, he was so angry. He says, did you hear this guy say this? Really, who does he think he is? This is one of the soldiers of Imam Ali, right? He's saying this to his friend. He's saying, I will prove this guy is a liar. He's talking about Imam Ali. I'll prove him that he's a liar. Watch me. And I'll prove it to him. And you all people, you listen to this guy. So what he did is that he put a mark or something that he had in his pocket. And when Imam Ali left that space, he dug a hole there, put it inside the hole and, hid it inside there, in the ground. They went forward, Battle of Siffin happened, and all of these things happened, and time went on. He went back to Kufa and started living there. Until one day he hears that Husayn ibn Ali was killed in Karbala. And all of a sudden, this information that Imam Ali gave, all of it came back to him. He remembered. And he ran to that place. He went to Karbala. He says, where was Husayn killed? He said, he was here. Because Imam Hussein's grave is a little bit away from where he was killed. He says, he was killed here. He went there and started digging. And he found what he had hidden there. Imagine this. My friends, he was given knowledge of the Shahadat of Imam Hussein by Imam Ali himself. But was that knowledge useful for him? It wasn't. My friends, having knowledge doesn't make us that knowledge useful for us. What truly we need is belief in that knowledge. We need to accept that knowledge. Really, do we have knowledge from the Imams that our Imam who's waiting for us in Ghaibat is going to come to us? He's going to make us zuhur. Tell me, how many of us have actually accepted that as a fact? How many of us have actually digested that information and said, I believe in it? How many of us are now living our lives according to that knowledge? Really, are we living that life according to that knowledge? Or is that, okay, something we learn in Sunday school or here in majlises? How many of us have already made plans that when the Imam will come, this is what I'm going to do? You know, I live in Florida. We have hurricanes that come there. You know, when you have hurricanes that come there, you know, you have to get ready for them, right? You know, there's, survival kit you have to make. That if a hurricane hits you and if you're out of light or something happens, what do? Your evacuation plan, your exit plan, your strategy. You have to plan it out. And that hurricane that's coming, it's not sure it's going to come and hit your home. It's not even sure. But the season comes and everyone gets ready. They have their water supply, they have their this batteries, they have their transistor radios, everything that in case if the electricity goes, then this is what we do in order to get ready. Now what happens is that when we look at it, my friends, and when you see it, how are we and what plans do we have that if the Imam comes right now, what is our exit strategy? How do we join him? Have you made plans for that, or really, is it just a knowledge we have that we don't believe in? See, this is what reality is. This is the reality on the ground. I'll give you an example, a real life example, if you send a salawat. In Houston, it was the day of Ashura, in Houston, not too long ago, a few years ago, right? And you know, in Ashura, everyone is getting ready for the majlis and everyone's outside having, you know, whatever they're doing, getting ready. And this biker guy with long hair and tattoos from the Hells Angels, you know, drives up into the parking lot, you know, rides into the parking lot with his bike. And now everyone's like looking at this guy, you know. Long blonde hair, you know, tattoos all over, wearing a leather jacket. And like everyone's like looking at him and who the heck is this guy? Right? He just drives up into the parking lot and parks there. And so one of the persons, you know, they went up to him and said, how may we help you? Right? How can we help you? And this guy just says, I'm here for the majlis of Imam Hussein. Looking at him, all right, go ahead. You know, and he went to the English program. There also we have English and Urdu and Arabic and all that going on. I said, that's the English program. So he went there and he comes there now. So when I went there, I met him. I met up with him, you know. He comes to the majlis and listens and this and that. So I asked him, where do you live? Because at first he was like a little bit, you know, disillusioned by the Shias there. Well, the Shias everywhere, you know. It wasn't hard to believe that. So I asked him, so where do you live? You know what? He lives on a construction site. I said, live on a construction site, you know. He has a bike. He goes to the gym to take showers, right? He has a job. He says, so I said, why are you living like this? He said, why are you living like this? Because the Imam can come any minute. I don't want to have any attachments. I want to be ready for him. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. La ilaha illallah. My friends, understand this. There are people who, when they heard that the Imam is coming, for them it's real. For them, something is actually happening. There's something that's happening. It's not something that you just say that, oh, you know, Imam, inshallah, will make zuhur. Something real in their life. They have taken that knowledge and they have believed in it. This is the idea of knowledge. Now, the issue is how do you increase this belief? Because for a Shia, knowledge is not the problem. I guarantee you, you have enough knowledge to go to Jannat. You have enough knowledge to go to heaven. Knowledge is not our problem. It's never our problem. With the blessing of Ahlul Bayt and the majalis of Imam Hussein, we have enough knowledge that we have learned. We know enough things and we are able to go to Jannat with it. Really, we can go to Jannat. It's easy. Our problem is not the lack of knowledge. Our problem is the lack of belief in that knowledge. It is a lack of belief and conviction in that knowledge. So the question is, how do we raise this conviction? How do you raise this belief? One factor, one major factor is what I will mention today. What is it in Islam that helps us to increase the conviction in the ilm that we have? What is it in Islam that makes us believe in the knowledge that we have? My friends, the one major factor is the azadari of Imam Hussein. Salawat ala Muhammad. Understand this. The majlis of Imam Hussein, the azadari of Imam Hussein, Karbala and Ashura, if it increases your knowledge or not, that's different. But what it does do is increase the conviction and belief you have in knowledge. When a person cries for Imam Hussein, he starts believing. When a person starts to hit himself on the chest, he starts believing. Really? His heart starts to purify. Because this knowledge cannot be understood without a pure heart. And if a person who doesn't cry for Imam Hussein, doesn't do matam for Imam Hussein, he cannot be purified. He needs this. We need this. And then it will become real for us. Our relationship with Imam Hussein will become real for us. Really, then it will become real for us. You know, a person went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. May Allah give us all the tawfiq to go for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein. A person went for the ziyarat of Imam Hussein, but he refused to go to the haram. He refused to go to the haram. He stayed in a hotel away from the haram. And every day he would just go on top of the roof of the hotel and he would just read ziyarat of Imam Hussein and he would just cry there. He would just cry. That's it. And the host who was downstairs, the person says, you know, I see you going upstairs. Have you been to the haram? He says, no. So don't you want to go there? He says, no. That's all right. I'm fine here. I don't want to go to the haram. Why not? You know, he tried to convince him, but he wasn't convinced. So what this person did is that he went to the local alim there and said, you know, you need to talk to this person. He's a zayir. He came from so far away and he refuses to go to the haram. So the alim met up with him and he said, all right, you know what, you should go to the haram. And it's mustahab, and this is the importance and the fadilat of praying under the dome of Imam Hussein and all of those hadith that we hear about. So he insisted that this person go. So he accepted it. Reluctantly he accepted to go to the haram. And the next day he got ready, he made himself ready, he took ghusl. He started walking towards the haram. But the way he was walking, the way he was going, is that every few steps he will take, something, some realization would come into his mind and he will fall down crying. He would take a few more steps. And people saw him holding the walls of the houses to make himself stand up. And he would take a few more steps and he would just fall down. And he would cry. Take a few more steps, he would be like that. Until he went forward, he saw the dome of the haram. And when he saw the dome of the haram, he couldn't handle it anymore. He just started to pass out. He just started crawling from there. He came inside People said this is the entrance. He came inside. And he came to that place where someone said that this is the place Imam Hussein was killed. And that whole image of Imam Hussein dying came into his eyes. He just looked at that. He says, Mawla, you are killed here. This is what you are killed. And just in that moment of emotion, he just passed away and died there. He couldn't handle it. Friends, when you realize what happened to Imam Hussein and you see that place and you are taking pictures there, Subhanallah. Subhanallah, can you imagine that? This is real for him. Imam Hussein was killed here. How will I go in front of Fatima and meet her, knowing that this is where Imam Hussein was killed? My friends, belief is important. Having conviction is important. An example for us is Salman Farsi. Salman Farsi is a very good example for us. When you look at his life, his whole life he searched. He went after an idea, a hunch. Not even a knowledge, a hunch. Where he heard from different people that the last prophet is coming. That was enough for him. He says, he's coming? Where? Maybe here. He went there. When he went there, he said, no, there. He went there. He followed whatever clues he could get. His whole life he searched. His whole life he was looking for that prophet, for his beloved. That was the object of his love. He says, one day I want to see him. Just see him once. And now just imagine when the prophet came to Medina and this Salman heard that there's a person who came here claiming to be a prophet. He says, is that him? Let me go and see him. And the first time that Salman lay his eyes on the prophet, he just looked at him. All his life he has been searching. All his life he has been going around looking for him. Just imagine that look that Salman gave. And then the smile of the prophet when he looked at Salman. And that was it. Salman was flattened. Salman was sold. Salman was finished. He said, this is it. This is what I've been waiting for. After that, Salman became such that Fatima used to ask Salman that, Salman, where are you? I am looking for you. This is Salman. Subhanallah. This is what belief is, conviction is when you go after that. La ilaha illallah. My friends, blessed are you who have come here on the first night. You know, there's a special place for those who come on the first night of Muharram. There's a special place for those people in the heart of Imam Hussein. There's a special place for those people who love Imam Hussein who come on the first night. There's a special place in the heart of Fatima for them. Really. Those who come here the first night, because they come here the same night that Fatima arrives at every gathering. The first night of Muharram. She arrives at the gathering and she stays here until the morning period is finished. She stays here. So those who come on this night, they are special for Imam Hussein. Because many people were stopping Imam Hussein. When Imam Hussein said, I'm going to Karbala, I'm going and I'm leaving. Many people were stopping him. Many people were stopping him. One lady, big name, she wrote a letter to Imam Hussein and said, you should not go, you should not instigate violence, you should not do this. Imam Hussein was listening to these people. Many people came to advise Imam Hussein. It's Imam Hussein you're advising. Imam Hussein is saying, I'm leaving, and you're saying not to go? And so, one of the persons who came to Imam Hussein and confronted him was Abdullah ibn Umar. Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Umar, Abdullah, he came to him and said, Hussein, why are you going? Don't go. Don't go. Imam Hussein, he looked at him, first of all, didn't reply. He didn't reply to him. He said, you know, I mean, I'm going. Abdullah ibn Umar said, don't go. Why are you going? And Hussein looked at him and said, Abdullah, you know it, why I'm going. You know why I'm going. Imam Hussein wasn't speaking frankly with him. Then Abdullah said, listen, why are you going? You're good here. You're safe here. Everything's good here. Why are you going? Imam Hussein asked him a question. He says, tell me, how much is this dunya worth? How much is this dunya worth? Tell me. What is the value of this dunya? He asked Abdullah ibn Umar. He knew the answer, right? But Imam Hussein wasn't straightforward with him till now. Understand this, my friends. Relationship you have with Imam Hussein, sometimes we need to just speak to Imam Hussein and say, Hussein, do not be reserved with us, just tell us. Tell us straight, Hussein. Speak to us straight. Don't be like that with us and asking questions and talking in underlying tones. Just be straight with us. And then when Imam Hussein said, you know why I'm going, then Abdullah ibn Umar came and said, okay, let me kiss your chest. He said, let me kiss your chest. And Imam Hussein said, all right, you want to kiss my chest? He said, why do you want to kiss my chest? It's because I heard the Prophet say that your chest, this chest of yours will be pierced with so many arrows and so many spears and so many swords. I want to kiss it before it becomes like that. He started to cry in front of Imam Hussein. And now when Imam Hussein saw him crying, now he opened up to him. Now he spoke straight to him and said, Abdullah, don't you recognize this? Don't you know this? That anyone who doesn't come with me will be ruined. Why are you making this decision not to come? Don't ask me not to go. You should be saying, come, I want to come with you. Hussein, we are here crying for you right now and telling you, be straight with us. We are not going to stop and asking you. We are here shedding our tears for you and we want you to come and hold our hands and take us. You know why? Because Imam Hussein, not only does he guide you, but he takes your hand and he takes you there. But you just have to ask him, say, Hussein, my hands are stretched out to you. Take us here on the first night of Muharram. We are here to cry for you. My friends, you are here on the first night. You are fortunate people. You know why? Because you have come here to mourn for Imam Hussein. And may Allah bless you. May you understand the value of your tears and the matam that you will do for Imam Hussein. But remember one thing. Do not think of yourself as worthless from now on. Do not think of yourself as not having any value. You know why? Because now you have come. You have someone special who's making dua for you. When you come here and leave this door to go out to your home, just go with this thought in your mind and with this conviction in your mind that there's a lady who's coming behind you and she's raising her hands towards heaven and say, Allah be a witness that these are the people who cry for my son Hussein. These are the people who have mourned for my son Hussein. And when Fatima is making dua for you, you cannot be worthless. Neither are your tears worthless. Neither are you worthless. This is the time, my friend, this is the night that Karbala, Imam Hussein hasn't reached Karbala yet. He's on the way over here. But you know this journey that came to here was difficult. When he left Medina in such a state, that such a state of elegance and honor that every lady was taken and she was taken to the horse, she was taken to the camel by Abbas and Ali Akbar. On one side was Abbas, on one side was Ali Akbar, and everyone who came and they saw the face of Abbas and the face of Ali Akbar, their hearts were content, their hearts were fulfilled, and their hearts were so pleased to see them. Imagine Abbas is on the ride with you, Ali Akbar is on the ride with you. You know what happens? Just imagine you're going for ziyarat and you find out that one of the people who's going for ziyarat with you is Abu Fazl al-Abbas. Now you'll think, Abbas is on the same group as I am. Now my journey will be so good that no matter how far I it is. No matter how hard it is, as long as Abbas is there, I will be fine. As long as Ali Akbar is with me, just seeing them will be pleasurable. Imagine what Zainab and Umm Kulsoom were feeling when this caravan was going towards Kufa, when this caravan was heading towards there. Every time Rabab was feeling tired of holding Ali Asghar, Ali Akbar would come and said, "Mother, give him to me, I'll take care of him. Give him to me, I'll take care of him. Why do you bother? Let me handle him." Rabab would smile at Ali Akbar and she would give Ali Asghar over to him. Every time Zainab would want something, she would feel that she wants something, there will be so many youngsters of Bani Hashim who would come around her and said, "Aunt Zainab, don't stand up. You tell us what to do. We will bring it for you. Do you want water? We will get it for you. Is there any need? We will fulfill it for you. You just relax. Relax on this journey." Imagine what these ladies are feeling when they're going towards Karbala. But what happened after Karbala is that when Zainab came out and saw the battlefield, Abbas lying on one side, Ali Akbar lying on one side, she was imagining, where are the youth of Bani Hashim who brought us with so much honor from Karbala to Karbala? And now that we're leaving Karbala, Abbas, you're not there with us. Ali Akbar, you're not there with us. يعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلب يا محمود حق محمد يا الله بحق يا فاطر السماوات بحق فاطر يا محسن بحق حسن يا قديم الأحسان بحق حسن اللهم give us التوفيق to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين. Martin, I'm saying.